二人を。You ready? Okay. Is everybody ready for the lecture? So we're going to explain about marriage and especially about this particular couple, Albert and Inta. And so, Om Aganat Timirandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So very happy to be here celebrating this wonderful marriage. And just a little story, this marriage was actually consecrated at Govardhan. It's a very interesting story about this marriage. Should I tell the story, Albert? Albert, should I tell the story?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened is that we were all on Govardhan Parikrama. Everybody knows about Govardhan, right? Govardhan is the hill that Krishna picked up with his left hand, and Govardhan Hill is non-different from Krishna. He's also the best servant of Krishna. And so we approached this one temple called the Uddhava Temple at Uddhava Kund. And we saw this pujari who's a good friend of mine. His name is Giriraj. And this pujari Giriraj, his father did 1,000 parikramas of Govardhan Hill to get him as his son. Pretty good. So he's a very great devotee. So Giriraj also knows how to read hands. So he took Inta's hand and he looked at her hand. He said, oh, there's two sons there. And he said, where's the husband? And I pointed out Albert, and he said, all right, that's it, marriage. So he sort of performed a pre-marriage marriage ceremony at Govardhan, and then we decided to have the big marriage ceremony here. So this marriage was actually made in the spiritual world. Talk about romantic marriages. This is a spiritual, romantic marriage that comes right from Braj. Hari Bol. And also another romantic statement is that Krishna conscious marriages can actually be eternal. Marriages in the material realm are not eternal. They're only for one lifetime. But spiritual marriages are a spiritual partnership whereby the couple goes back to the spiritual world and serves Krishna together, serves Radha and Krishna together in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is the destination and it's also the goal of a spiritual marriage. So that's this particular marriage. And then we'll speak about marriage in general. So the purpose of marriage is actually a spiritual partnership to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many people don't understand what marriage is. They think it's just like another contract. Like you buy a car, you take a contract out, you make your payments. Or you buy a house, you make the mortgage payments, and you get married, you make the payments to your wife. So it's not like that. Marriage is a partnership in which both partners are serving each other. I was asked the question today about what makes a good marriage. Of course, I'm a sannyasi. How would I know these things? So somehow or other we know because we've performed many marriages and we've seen many things. You know, when you get to be a little older, you see a lot of things in this world. So when we go into a relationship, not just marriage, but any sort of relationship with the idea that the other person is supposed to serve me, that relationship doesn't work. Because we're demanding things from the other person. We're seeing the other person as an object of our satisfaction or our desires rather than as a person. Does everyone follow that? We're seeing the other person as a means, like our computer. We gave the example today. When you go and buy a computer, the computer is an object. And when the computer doesn't function properly, what do? You get angry. You stupid computer. And some people even smash their computer out of anger. So we tend to deal with people like that too in our relationships, whether it's the husband, wife, or the children, or the brothers, or the friends. We tend to use people. But a good marriage is where people are servants of each other. Of course, we understand that as our constitutional position. Jivera Svarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das. We're eternal servants of Krishna, which means we're servants of all Krishna's parts and parcels simultaneously. That's why we have the name Das. All of us, when we get initiated, we get the name Das. Das means servant. So we should understand this. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amanina Manadena. To not expect anything for ourselves, but to be ready to offer all respects and service to others. Amanina Manadena. And in this way, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One can go on chanting the Lord's holy names continually. So part of that attitude of service, there's another element that's connected with it, is loyalty. Because in this Kali Yuga, most of the principles of religiosity are finished, like cleanliness, mercifulness, austerity. But there is one that's partially remaining, and that's truthfulness. And part of truthfulness is loyalty, being loyal, or using another word, chaste. Chaste means basically loyalty to an extreme degree. Being devoted and remaining with someone through good times and bad times, through happiness and distress, and always helping the other person regardless of the situation. And I'm going to tell some stories from the Vedic literatures that illustrate that. Let's tell the story of Savitri and Satyavan. Some of you may know that story, a very famous story of loyalty. So once upon a time, there was this king. His name was Ashwapati. Ashwapati means basically the king of horses. Anyway, he had a lot of horses. Ashwa is horses. Pati means like in charge of or the boss or something like that. Ravana, he was called Lankapati, right? And he also wanted to become Sitapati and Jagatpati, but he was unsuccessful. So you had this Ashwapati, and he wanted a son. And he prayed to Lord Brahma, my dear Lord Brahma, Om Brahmaya Namaha, Om Brahmaya Namaha, Om Brahmaya Namaha, Brahmaya, Brahmaya, Brahmaya Namaha. And Lord Brahma gave him a benediction, but instead of getting a son, he got a daughter. Her name was Savitri, famous personality. But she was so beautiful that basically they couldn't find a husband qualified for her. So the father looked around, where can I find a husband? Couldn't find one. So eventually he said to her, you got to look yourself. But not alone, not that she went to Auckland or any place like that looking for a husband, but she went with the king's soldiers. And she actually found someone. His name was Satyavan. And so she went back to her father. Her father said, have you found anybody? And she was completely devoted to him. She hadn't got married at that point. She was completely devoted, and her father said, have you found anyone? And she said to her father, yes, Satyavan. At the same time, the great sage Narada Muni was there. And Narada Muni was listening to this whole conversation, and he said, that's not a good idea. You better find someone else. And the king, Ashwapati, said, why is that not a good idea? Isn't he a good guy? And Narada Muni said, he's the best. But there's a problem. What is the problem? Does anyone know? Nobody knows. He's going to die in a year from now. So who would get married to someone who's going to die in a year from now? Unless they have a lot of money and you'll inherit it all. Then it's a very good idea. Otherwise, not good idea. So therefore, they advised her, don't do it. But she said, I'm going to marry him. My heart is given to him. This is the principle of loyalty. My heart is given to him. So she went to live with Satyavan. And Satyavan was living with his parents in the forest. The reason they were living in the forest, in spite of being from a king's family, is that his parents, or his father, was blind. His father's name was Jumat Sena. And his father was blind, and so therefore the prime minister of his father's kingdom had kicked his father out of the kingdom. Because it's very hard to be a king if you're blind, because in those days the king had to be at the front of the battlefield. So generally, like you find, Dhritarashtra was not appointed to be the king because he was blind. So this king was exiled, and he was living with his wife and living with his son, Satyavan, in the forest. So she was so chaste that she gave up all the opulence that she had to live with Satyavan in the forest. Okay, so she knew he was going to die in a year. So she was watching the calendar, counting down the days, 365, 364, 363, and it got to 3 days before he was going to die. She started fasting, and on the day he was supposed to die, she said to him, I want to go to the forest with you and collect firewood. So she went to the forest with him to collect firewood, and while they were in the forest, he had a heart attack, and he passed away. His head was on his wife's lap, and she was, of course, very sorrowful. So this great personality named Yamaraj came. Now Yamaraj, he comes, generally he doesn't come because he sends his servants. They're called the what? Yamadutas. And they are not so attractive. A little frightening, or a lot frightening. So he didn't send anybody. He came himself because Satyavan was so pious, and Savitri, she was very good. And Savitri, she was able to see Yamaraj. And Yamaraj took the soul out of the body with the ropes of Varuna, the special rope. And the soul was very, very small, like 1/10,000 the size of the hair, tip of the hair. And so he was pulling the soul along, and Savitri, that's a mobile phone, Savitri did not have a mobile phone. So please turn them off. And if any of your mobile phones go off, you're donating $100 to the deities. So I think everyone will turn off their phone then. Otherwise it doesn't work if I tell them to turn off their phone. But nobody wants to be forced to give. So she started to follow Yamaraj. And she followed Yamaraj for 7 steps. Now, there's a Vedic injunction that if you follow someone for 7 steps or you walk with them 7 steps, it's like friendship at that point. Just like you have in this marriage ceremony, I think you're going to do the 7 steps, right? The 7 steps the couple takes together. Where's our priest? Oh, there he is. You can do the 7 steps, right? Good. Because by taking 7 steps together, you remain together forever. So be careful who you take your 7 steps with. And be careful who you exchange garlands with, too, because you may find yourself married. That's called a Gandharva marriage, where you exchange garlands with someone, and automatically you're married to them. So be careful about those things. So what happened? She took 7 steps with Yamaraj, and Yamaraj said, get back home, lady. And she said, we've taken 7 steps. We're friends now. We got to continue. So they were walking, and they had some discussion about different philosophical subject matters. Yamaraj was very pleased with her, and he said, okay, you asked for a benediction, but you can have any benediction except you can't have your husband back. So she said, I want the benediction that my husband's father, Jumatsena, will get his sight back. And so Yamaraj said, okay, have his sight back. But she continued following him. And he said, all right, ask for another benediction, but you can't have your husband back. No way. That's his karma. He can't come back to life. So she said, I want my father-in-law's kingdom to be restored to him. Okay, that'll be done. So she kept walking and they kept talking like friends, and he became pleased again, said, ask for another benediction. And she said, I want my father, that's Ashwapati, who wanted a son. Remember the beginning of the story? He wanted a son, prayed to Lord Brahma. I want him to have 100 sons. And Yamaraj said, okay, 100 sons. And they kept walking, 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 walking. Eventually, Yamaraj said, okay, one more benediction. That's it. No more. And you can't have your husband back. He was getting very frustrated with her at this point. He said, you know, this has never happened before that some wife has followed the husband. We do not permit this. So she said, all right, just simple benediction, little thing this time. I just want 100 sons by my husband, Sachaban. And so Yamaraj, not thinking because he was so frustrated with her by that time, he said, all right, lady, you know, you're going to have 100 sons by Sachaban. Now go away. And then she said, guess what, Yamaraj? I can't have 100 sons by my husband unless the husband's there. And so Yamaraj said, oh, you won. So he gave back her husband, and she literally had 100 sons. They lived for several hundred years and happily like that. And this is an ideal example of loyalty. And there are other examples I can tell stories forever about from the Ramayana, like Sita, how she was so chaste to Lord Ram that she followed him into the forest, and she did not even think of anyone else other than Ram. There was a story when she was in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, the brahmacharis had some doubt in her chastity. You know, brahmacharis are disturbed sometimes. They can't understand these things. So they had some doubt, and they went to Valmiki Muni, and they said, Gurudev, what kind of lady did you let move into our ashram? Because they didn't know it was Sita Devi. They thought it was just some lady, she was expecting a child. And so Valmiki said, we have a test for you, Sita Devi. There's this lake called the Shibi Sagara. The Shibi Sagara is a lake where a female pigeon flew over the lake. And the reason she flew over the lake is that one day she came home to her husband a little late. And she said to her husband, these are two pigeons, remember that. They talk. So she said to her husband, my dear Mr. Pigeon, hello. And so her husband said, you come back late, you're unchaste. And she said, who ever heard of pigeons being chaste? And he said, it's in a holy place. This is the ashram of Valmiki Muni. Even pigeons are supposed to have a marriage ceremony, Vivaha Yagya. And so he said, I don't want to see you anymore unless you prove your chastity. And the way you can prove your chastity is flying over this whole lake, which was like 80 miles long. 80-mile long lake. So this pigeon started to fly, female pigeon started to fly, and the demigods helped her, and she was able to fly over the whole lake without going into the water. So Valmiki Muni said to Sita Devi, you should do the same thing. And Sita Devi went over the whole lake without getting wet because of the power of her chastity. So now when we're talking about chastity, we're referring to the loyalty. Let's put it in a common English word. Loyalty between two people or between groups of people, or loyalty to the spiritual master. There's many types of loyalty that make one very powerful. For example, if one is loyal to the guru, to Srila Prabhupada, one becomes very powerful spiritually and can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said in the fourth canto, part four of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when the spiritual master passes away, referring to the acharya passing away, if one takes up the mission of the spiritual master, one sees the super soul. So there's great power in this quality of loyalty, which is truthfulness. And so we see so many stories about this. So in this particular marriage, as in all marriages, We asked the couple to meditate on this particular quality, being loyal and faithful to each other, serving each other, seeing each other as objects of service, to assist each other in advancing in Krishna consciousness, not to think that the other person is meant for my pleasure. Then there will be a very congenial relationship, eternal relationship, and you will have both advanced in Krishna consciousness to the perfectional stage very, very quickly, and you'll be stable in Krishna consciousness. And imbibe this instruction not only in your married life, but in throughout your life in all of your relationships. The quality of service. We should remember this as devotees, that we are meant to serve everybody. Just like we have a Sunday feast here. So those of you who are full-time members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should be serving the guests. We told this story. I was in Suva recently. Suva's in Fiji. And I wanted to make sure the devotees had this right attitude. So I stood guard over the prasadam table to make sure the devotees didn't eat until all the guests ate. And I taught the devotees, you should serve. I was serving myself, and it was very blissful. Sometimes we think to become a servant is a miserable experience. We want to be served. We want to be Ishwaroham, Ahambogi, Siddoham, Balavan Sukhi. But the happiest experience one can have, whether it's in married life, whether it's friendship, is the quality of serving others. That is the happiest one can be, serving others in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, thank you very much. A brief message for this marriage ceremony. Now we'll continue with giving the bride away to the husband. What? Kanyadan. So what do you want me to do?
Do you want to ask them?
Oh, you want me to do all that? Yeah, I can ask them.
So first,
okay, so, yeah, I know that. I've done this a million times before. We just had three marriages in Fiji. I know this by heart by now. So at this point, let me explain. If you're going to let me do it, it's going to be humorous. So I hope that's all right. So, because I interject humor in the marriage. So at this point, the father gives his daughter in marriage. Where is the father? Okay. Peter Shri? I never knew you had a daughter like this. So you could repeat after me. Today I select Shimon Albert.
Today I select Shimon Albert.
As a suitable husband. To whom I shall give my daughter Inta.
I shall give my daughter Inta.
In sacred marriage. So now you're the father of the bride. You place the right hand of your daughter in the right hand of the bridegroom. What? No, they sit down for this portion. Then, as you do it, then a married woman with a son should tie the right hands of the couple together with a garland of flowers. This gets a little complicated after this, but tie the hands together. Because everybody's going to put their hands together here. It's going to be like a very nice... Okay. And then the parents of the bride place their hands over the couples as a gesture of the deed of gift, and the parents of the bridegroom under theirs as a sign of welcome. Oh, so Dwarka, you're the father of Albert. You don't look old enough to be his father. Maruti has a brother now. Okay. So Albert, I'm asking you a question. Albert, do you accept Inta as your wife and promise to protect her in your material and spiritual life and to remain faithful without divorce? You have a choice.
I do.
You do? Good. Hari Bol. Okay. And Inta, Shrimati Inta, do you accept as your suitable husband, Shrimati Albert, and do you promise to assist him in his material and spiritual life to be chaste and faithful without any divorce or separation? She doesn't have. Yes, Jai, Hari Bol. So now you sprinkle some water from the Panchapatra over their head, and you want me to do the mantras or what? Okay. So we recite this mantra, Om Narayanaya Vidmahe Vasudeva. You're going to sprinkle water over the head? You sprinkle water, and I'll say the mantras. I mean, you can't both do both things. Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tano Vishnu Prajodayat Om Mahadevyai Cha Vidmahe Vishnu Patyai Cha Dhimahi Tano Lakshmi Prajodayat. Okay.